Now broadcasting the webcomic Beacon.
This is episode 32 for the Webcomic Beacon at webcomicbeacon.com. I'm the host with the most, and that's Festworks of Festworks.com. And with me is Tanya of Betapone.com.
Hello.
And with us as well is Silent Mumbling Bob. Aaron had his tonsils out, and he won't be communicating with us very much with the show, though he is here mostly in spirit and in tapping microphone. Aaron, are you still there? Okay, he's in. Oh, there we go.
There he is.
Let's see. This week, we're going to be talking about webcomic list sites. These are the sites where you, if you visit a webcomic, you'll most likely see a vote for me, vote for us, vote for this comic. So you click on a link and you click to vote. And sometimes, if you're lucky, you get some special art saying thank you that'll stay there for the entire month because they forgot to change it or they don't care. Anyway, you people know who you are. Webcomic list sites. We're talking about the webcomic list, Buzz Comics, Top Webcomics, places like that. They usually have some sort of ranking based on traffic coming to them from your site, votes, and also clicks going out from their site to your website. Tanya, do you use any of these list sites anymore?
You know, I know I'm still on them, but it's through no continued maintenance on my part.
Do you even have them on your site?
No. Isn't that nice to know? I did it for about, I don't know, 3 or 4 months, and then I just kind of stopped. This is going to be a terribly popular opinion. I don't know that it helped me or hurt me either way. Even with the webcomic list, I got far more click-throughs when I put up an ad on the site than just from having, you know, my name on the list. And I know it's on there, and, you know, occasionally somebody will say, you know, hey, you were ranked, you know, number 9 and blah, blah, blah.
Woo!
Like, I don't know, it's something I think everybody does when they first start their webcomic, like, you feel this oppressive urge to make sure you're on all the lists, and I don't think it's a bad thing when you first start out. If nothing else, it makes you feel legitimate. But then it's sort of, there.
Well, I agree. I think everybody should at least go through and add theirs to a list, because some, you know, you can get some people that will troll around and will click on the new submissions, so that always helps, because you're gonna get a few hits from being a new submission. So make sure you got, you know, a good amount of stuff there, you know, like at least 10 strips before you do it, because it also kind of makes it, if somebody doesn't really know about webcomics, they'll probably stumble across one of these list sites first, and it's a good possibility that they'll find your site by accident, than if you don't put it on there, if that makes any sense. However, very slim. there was a time I had some on my site, then I was like, you know what, this sucks, I'm not going to do it anymore. But now I've started to put them back, and there's a few that I really like, mostly because you can do vote incentives, which. And I'll mention two of them right now is topwebcomics.com and buzzcomics with an X at the end instead of a CS, .net. Both of these websites offer ranking and voting. These are based off of how many times people come to the site from your site, to their site from your site, and how many people go to your site from their site, as well as having votes, people voting, and to be able to put up an image to display before or after when somebody will vote, basically giving you a little extra kudos for their algebra for what they do to figure out your rank.
Yeah.
And a lot of times what people will do is, like, have sketch art of the comic that is, you know, currently up. Like, the sketch work. I personally do the sketch work and the ink work of what I do. So I have, like, an ink incentive and a sketch incentive. So I separate them like that. And I think that's fair enough. Otherwise, I think if people just have, vote for us, and for no particular reason vote for us, I find that personally a little bit pretentious if you're not offering just a little bit of, you know, extra little, even if it is just a sketch version of the strip, you know. Otherwise, it just seems a little pretentious to me.
I put up it was a single panel incentive, where I just did a little single panel joke, which eventually turned into my single panel strip. I think a Saturday morning breakfast cereal makes great use of it, because there's sort of a what happens next, so that you have his comic, you read it, it's funny, then you read the little thing underneath, that's funny, and then if you vote, you get, like, the next little step. So,
so is that, like, a preview of the next strip, or...?
No, because they're not sequential. Oh. They're standalones. They're single panels. So it's sort of like, you know, if this was a multiple panel, this is what would have happened next.
Right, right.
It's funny. It's worth it most of the time.
there's also a place called onlinecomics.net, which is, I think it's just more of a archive list site. It doesn't offer any sort of voting. You think you can write reviews for your strips? You know what? There's another one just like this that I just saw some people, like, advertising for. Oh, you know, it's Choice Comics. Oh yeah.
Is it?
Yeah. Let's talk about that. Oh, you know what? I should have got this guy on. Anyway, choicecomics.net is kind of like onlinecomics.net. Only Choice Comics looks a little bit cooler, I guess. But I knew these guys from before, but they had, like, this a total system hack. And, well, I guess they didn't have anything backed up. So number one rule for anything you have online, back it up.
Yeah, twice.
And they have, I don't know if they have voting. I didn't check it. I think they used to have voting, but I know they have, you can write reviews, and they'll post, like, the latest review or whatnot.
Yeah.
And I think it's worth checking out. It's really hard to have gone through with someone before, and then their whole site just kind of disappear, and they're just like, oh, I don't want to do all this again. Because one of the things that bother me about list sites is having to resubmit your comic every time.
Yeah.
It's just a pain in the ass, even though it's usually really simple.
Oh, yeah.
Other than, like, clicking a few radio buttons, clicking a few things from a drop-down menu.
It's usually pretty standard information. They ask you for the same little, you know, half-paragraph blurb about your comic and where you find it and how you update and blah, blah, blah.
Right.
We need one form that we can fill out and just submit to all of these places.
Yeah, everyone's trying to be, like, the definitive webcomic list site, and I don't think anybody really...
What is the reward in that?
What was that?
What is the reward in that? What is the reward for being the definitive webcomic list?
Traffic and advertising rights, because people like to put advertising on there, and all of these, most of them offer Project Wonderful ad placement, which can work fairly well. If you look at the webcomiclist.com and Webcomic Z, I don't know if Webcomic Z is being designed by the people who worked on the webcomic list, but it's an absolute copy, if not done better, of the webcomic list. So there's some question there, because they got that that header with, like, 10 little squares of ads, which it says list your comic here, just like it does on the webcomic list. Click here for more info.
I wonder if it's a template.
I've never seen it anywhere else, But aside from the obvious similarities and the questionable things, Webcomic Z is newer, and they have a lot of different things. But my point is they also offer, where not Project Wonderful ads, but you pay to have your profile avatar listed up at the top. It'll cycle through per visit. And those have done fairly well for some people that I've known. But again, your ad is... There's two things important about ads, no matter where you put them. Ad placement, as in, mm-hmm. is where you're advertising relative, or does it, like, you're not going to advertise on a Food Network website if you're a webcomic about gaming. You know, that just doesn't work that way. And also whether or not your ad really shows something to make people want to click it and check it out. But we can talk about ads. We'll talk about ads coming back from the break, because I don't think this list site is going to take very too long.
No.
So let's see here.
I'm viewing the source of the two sites to see if there's a mystery. Oh, look. They're both done through W3.org. So there's your answer. That's why they look the same.
Oh, okay. Okay, another one I'm going to mention real quick before coming back to Webcomic Z, the Belfry is, from what I gather for what the Belfry is, it's a webcomics list and an index. I think it's mostly friendly towards furry webcomics, as far as I understand, but they list all comics there anyway. It's just, but there is a spot where you can look at all genres or just, you know, furry comics or non-furry comics. So obviously it does have a little bit more of an emphasis, but from when I started putting my stuff on list sites, when I first started putting my stuff up, I got the most clicks from the Belfry, which is at belfry.com, because they post the newly added ones, and I guess people always check out the new ones, but I got like a ton of clicks through there, so that was pretty sweet.
Do you know specifically how many is a ton?
A handful versus one or two.
Was it like more than 500, less than 500?
Oh, psh, yeah, like I ever got 500 clicks on anything. No, I'm saying it's like for the first month, maybe with any of them, I maybe got like, you know, between 5 and 10. And I guess with the first month, maybe I got 10 and 20 on the Belfry.
Okay, yeah.
500. You're funny.
I'm not trying to be funny. I'm just saying. Alright.
So those are a few of those. If there's a couple other sites you can look at for... They're not really list sites, but they're other kind of like listy-like communities. And one is Comic Space at comicspace.com. But that is turned into basically very much so, and I think that's what its intent was, a myspace.com-like for webcomics. And that is also why I don't visit the site at all.
I've made a lot of really good connections through Comic Space.
If you have the patience and the time, sure.
Yeah. It works really well as a networking tool if that's what you're looking for.
Yeah, I don't like that social networking crap.
I know you don't.
I don't have the time or patience for it, and I don't care for any drama, so.
I haven't encountered any drama, actually.
Well. Who knows? Me, I have a tendency to start some, too, because I just can't keep my mouth shut. okay, let's real quick here. There's also comicspedia.org, which is basically, we've all heard that, you know, if you try to add your webcomic to the Wikipedia stuff, that it's going to get deleted. Okay, this is for everybody who's listening. Do not add your webcomic to comics, do not add it to Wikipedia ever. Don't add it. Do never add your own webcomic. Wait for other people to add it, and what you need before you get it, you need to have an actual article on there, and to have an article on Wikipedia, you have to have two separate notable sources that talk about it. Now, I'll mention ArjaComic.com, you know, Arja. We had a newspaper article written in the Indianapolis Star, a newspaper. And the article itself was run through online at like USA Today Comic, a newspaper. Two different sources, but it's the same thing. So that didn't count, is what I'm told. And the best thing, the best thing is just don't bother arguing with them. That's their site. Let them do that. You know, two different outside sources that are, you know, preferably not as much online. If you have like a newspaper or a magazine talk about you, or another website that's already listed on Wikipedia, then maybe. But the rule of thumb is do not add your own. Because then they jump on you right away for that.
Right. The only exception would be there is a Wikipedia entry for webcomics, and you can add your comic to the list. They have a list.
No. You cannot add your comic to that list. You can't. No. See, that's a list of articles of webcomics that are already on there. That's not just a general list.
Oh, no. They have a list.
No, they don't. I monitor this list, and I remove sites as well.
Okay.
Trust me. Just
I will trust you.
And I'm trying to be clear about this because they got to deal with this a lot too. And it's like just don't worry about it. Go to comicspedia.org. It's the comics Wikipedia, basically.
And that's what it's for.
Yeah, this is the notable site. This is the site you want to link to. This is the site you want to check out. You can add your website, and it doesn't matter about whether or not it's notable or not. Just as long as it's online and people can see it. You know, if you put up a bunch of stuff and there's no existent webcomic, well, then they're going to delete it. So go there. Go to comicspedia.org and add your webcomic today. Oh, that's rich.
Wow. That's nice. It's nice to watch you lose your mind. It's excellent.
Let's see. Looking at the chat room, somebody's saying I should add my comic to WikiFur. I guess if you have a furry comic, you could add your comic to WikiFur as well. I thought I had mine on WikiFur, but I don't remember. I just stopped caring and just stopped putting stuff up. But I could probably do that now. Just so that's another thing for people to do furry comics. So check that out. There's also Pipe Pereka. What is that?
Paprika? That's I don't know. Does that count as a list? It's more like a favorites kind of thing. Like if you have a Paprika account or a Pipeworker or whatever it is, you can, you know, favorite a bunch of different webcomics and then go to, like, it makes a link page for you, basically. It's no different than like saving favorites on, say, like your Gmail front page.
So it's not really a list site? It's more like a links site, your favorite site, that people can see what you... Okay.
Yeah, because I know Betapond is on there. I get click-throughs from there, but I didn't submit it. It's that somebody favorited me to their account. I don't know how it works.
Well, people can check that out at... People can check out at piperka.com, which is piperka.net. It's .net, actually. I can't vouch for it, but I have seen it around. It's where you see the red, yellow, and green peppers in the link that they have. So that's that. I wanted to mention real quick, since we're pretty much done talking about... there's another one. Okay, there's... For Transformation Comics, you can check out metamorphos.org. And for transgender comics, you can check out tgcomics.com. They're a little bit more of towards a fetish type, given the topic. Of course, just because they're a little bit more fetish doesn't mean that they're too adult as well.
Yeah.
Some people are into that.
I would say it's subculture more than I would fetish.
Yeah, subculture. Yeah, that's probably the right word. There's one that's... I guess the definitive webcomic, which would describe a huge amount of different little fetishes within it, but it's not very perverted. It's a little bit perverted. That would be Elguna Shiv, if I'm saying it correctly.
Elguna Shiv.
Yeah, Shiv. Yeah. Okay, yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and it has a lot of gender swapping
And transformation and aliens. It's a mishmash of various things. And it has some fetish aspects to it. I mean, you can't deny that it does.
Yeah,
but it's not really, it doesn't really, I mean, there's no nudity. I mean, if anything, there's partial or suggestive nudity.
Yeah.
But lately I've been really liking it. The color is really nice. And there's a lot of more like that relationship drama with it. But but it has a lot of like the transformations, the transgendering, where basically like a guy or a girl will like magically or some other scientifically explained reason for shifting into the opposite gender. So, you know, you can get
And one of the characters even was separated from his female half, another two separate characters, and there's a lot of
there's a couple of, I guess, characters that were animals that are now humans. There's at least a squirrel girl.
Yeah, she's caught in between. She was a shapeshifter, and this is the one she likes best, this kind of half animal, half.
Ah. Well, anyway, it's also like one of those where the characters are in school, so you have to deal with like the school drama and crap, which
yeah.
I don't particularly.
It's High School Musical with transgender formatting and furries. I'm sure you'll love that description.
Hey. Now Dromos is calling me out by me saying fetish stuff, and he says, well, it says the furry guy, pot calling the kettle black. Just because you're a furry doesn't mean it's perverted. I have yet to have somebody point out something perverted in my webcomic, which is a furry comic.
And this is why I object to the word fetish. They're subculture.
Subculture, yeah.
Fetishes. Fetish has a very sexual connotation.
Yeah. Yeah.
Fetish is something you need to get off. Like,
well, not necessarily, but it can be what turns your crank. But maybe not for everybody. Yeah, you're right. I should stand corrected. Just because it has what people may consider fetishes doesn't mean that it's a fetish. It's just a subculture, and it's just misunderstood.
Yes.
all you people with your normie comics out there, you prudes.
Heteronormative.
Yeah. Quit oppressing us. No. Well, anyway, we can save all those other types of things for like other segments and such. But right now, we're going to take our first break, and when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about advertising.
The Webcomic Beacon is an affiliate of The Geek Media. The Geek Media has a number of geek-related podcasts, blogs, and videos for you to enjoy. Check out thegeekmedia.com. Have news, milestones, questions, or comments? Send your audio clips or email to webcomicbeacon@gmail.com.
That's pretty good for a first segment.
Considering we had no plan. Yeah.
Yeah.
Those are...
Yeah, Beta Pone...
Wait. I'm pig.
Beta Pone needs a cute talking animal, says Sir Pounce.
Oh, does it?
Yep.
You know what? I can't draw animals. I'm trying... I hate to say this. I'm trying to draw furry porn. That's, like, been my weekend project. And I have issues with hair.
I have to admit that I don't know. I've never done any like sort of like I just kind of started drawing. I have no idea how to really draw a furry because I never really studied the animal of which I'm making into a furry first. So it's like I look back, it's like, boy, what the hell was I doing? And now I'm actually going to start looking at like pictures of, you know, rats and wolves and try to get their, you know, facial structure right and stuff, because really furry comics are really hard to draw.
Yeah.
And not like
I tried to do like, you know, sexy wolf girl thing for a poster, and it really just came out looking like a chick with a tail and ears. Like, it could have been a bad Halloween costume. I have no idea what I'm doing.
I mean human comics are actually fairly easy to draw. Because you can draw a stick figure. You can draw a stick figure, really. But it's like, what are you going to do? Draw stick figures with like little pointy ears and a tail? Well, I suppose you could, but
right.
But if you really want to, if you want to really want to do what everyone else does,
yeah.
So
it looks like a Halloween costume.
Anyway, we got just a quick mention, real quick, before we move on. Somebody says a really nice furry character design designs. You can go check out the-whiteboard.com. Okay, now we're going to talk about advertising.
We'll
talk about furry comics another time. Oh, wait, I do want to mention real quick. Do you know one of the main reasons why I started this podcast?
No, why?
One of the things I wanted to have a soapbox for at least one episode to talk about furries. And I have yet to do it.
It's that people have problems thinking that all furry comics are porn.
They're not.
Is that it?
Yeah, but we'll save that for another time. Advertising. What are some advertising options for webcomicers out there, Tanya?
Well, the first obvious one is Project Wonderful, which is, it's an auction-based advertising site. You just put some simple code. You decide the box configuration, things that you want to offer on your site. Put some simple code into your site pages, and then other people get to bid on those ads. Obviously, you can bid on ads on other people's sites
right.
as well. You can get, I've gotten some decent hits from Project Wonderful. I got well over 1,000 in less than a day from questionable content. And again, like all advertising, I've done better if I target where I put up the advertising rather than. They do have kind of a blanket, you know, any ad that's less than 5 cents a day, you just put your ad up. But I don't do so good with those. It's much better if you target it toward comics that
right.
would appeal to people who would like your comic.
All right. We're going to come back to Project Wonderful for a while because people just want to know about Project Wonderful. But I do want to talk about what are some other ad possibilities that people can look at. This is for advertising, not earning an income.
Okay.
We're talking about you making advertisements to get people to your site.
For $15, the best advertising I've done aside from Project Wonderful was $15 a month on the top bar of the webcomic list. And, you know, it ran all month long, and I got decent hits from that one. And
yeah,
I know that there are...
We were talking about that earlier, that both webcomicz.com and the webcomiclist.com have this little banner at the top where they have several... Basically, they're avatars from the profile of the comic you're advertising. Mm-hmm. And they'll click right... they'll show up when people visit the site, click on it, and you get a little counter for your... not a counter, but like a point towards your ranking, and people see it. Those have actually done fairly well for me. I would have to say on the webcomic list, the one on the side has done incredibly terrible for me. And that's much more expensive and that's for less time. And I don't know, maybe my ad just sucked. It could have been my ad just really, really sucked, but I got so little clicks off it. It was a waste of money.
Yeah.
So, but it was fairly simple. I don't think it really made it that interesting. But otherwise...
Well, and there are a lot of mistakes you can make with ads, too. I have actually seen people who submit ads through systems like, you know, when you put up an ad on Webcomic List, they tell you what size the banner is going to be.
Mm-hmm.
And if you send it a different size, their website is going to force it into that size, and you end up with something that's completely illegible and unrecognizable. I've seen people do that.
Squished or stretched, and it's just... Yeah.
Yeah.
Anything
that blinks obsessively, like it's blinking. We got rid of blinking text for that reason. anything that is neon colors, it does not attract my eye. It makes me move the page. I don't know. What are some horrible ad mistakes
that I've seen? I can't say because if I haven't seen them, that means I didn't click on them. Oh, there's one thing. This is me personally. You ever seen those ads on TV where they have like some guy doing something normal and then suddenly his car gets wrecked for no reason or some really, and it says now what? And like now what?
I love those.
I never go to those sites. You know why? Because they're trying too hard to make me want to go to the site. Ooh, what is it? What is it going to be? I mean, for all I know, it's possibly car insurance. But
it is car insurance.
Well, still, I'm not going to click and go there because they're making their ads. They're trying too hard with their ads. It's like, okay, you want to be a dick? Well, you don't tell me who you are. I'm not going to look. I see billboard advertisements while I'm driving. I'm driving around. You don't say what the hell you're representing. Fuck you. Oh, shit. Anyway, obviously, nice. This is a touchy subject. I don't really like.
It is a good rule of thumb.
I don't like cryptic ads.
Make sense in your advertising. And you know, if you want people to click on, especially a comic ad, they're going to want to know: is it funny? Is it dramatic? Is, you know, what does the art look like?
Mm-hmm.
Stick it all up there. There's no reason to hide. You don't have to be coy. For the longest time, I just the title of the comic. And they do okay, but...
just the title doesn't really do a whole lot, but...
No, it really doesn't. And but the new ad campaign has a lot more than that. It just hasn't released yet.
And then, of course, there are... Sometimes you can... various other web... Oh, wait. Topwebcomics.com also has an advertise here thing. I remember doing actually fairly well with topwebcomics.com's ad placement. I was fairly satisfied. Sometimes people can buy ads through like AdSense or whatever, but those require more of an investment. You see like Google ads, you see like...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, those require like maybe 100 at least for a committed amount of time or something. But those are when you're really serious about advertising and looking to throw away lots of money and hope for the best, basically.
Yeah.
I found a webcomic.
And honestly, I think that when people are looking for a webcomic, they're more likely to click on a graphic ad than they are just a text ad, which is all those, you know, unless you're going to spend an insane amount of money. Google AdSense ads are all text. So,
yeah. Yeah, well, some of them have picture ads, but maybe that's a different Google service.
They're a lot of money. they're considerably more than the text ads.
Well, let's see here. Let's go back and talk about Project Wonderful, because that's going to be the most practical thing for all of us.
Yes.
Wait a minute. We got someone asking, what do you mean... By somebody's asking, what about site groups? What do you mean?
Huh?
Char's asking, what about site groups? And I'm asking her, what do you mean?
Yeah, I have no idea.
Placeinthesky.com?
What? Okay, here we go. Let's go see what she's talking about.
Okay, I don't know. Is this another list site? What am I looking at? Oh, you're talking about, like, communities? Like, webcomic communities?
Placeinthesky.com is about to die.
Oh.
Fired on Jesus.
Well, okay. Well, we talk about webcomic communities in other shows. We just had one last week where we talked about, whatever.
We're doing our community spotlights.
Yeah, doing our community spotlights. I mean, I suppose you can click on those, but those are just like... I personally wouldn't do it unless their Project Wonderful ads got a lot of traffic. But the Cornstalkers was an actual comic community as well. But we're going to move on from that and just talk about Project Wonderful in general before we run out of time for this second part of the show. Project Wonderful... First off, I will tell you, if you're looking to put Project Wonderful ad placement on your site, you're not going to get approved right away unless you're lucky. What they look for, because they want to make sure there's plenty of people putting money into it, plenty of people advertising, that they're not as quick to approve ad space for just everybody that comes in. One thing you can do is being a member a little bit longer and placing a lot of ads. And if that doesn't work, you can try emailing them saying, I'd like to put some ads in my thing. And you know, I've been using it a lot for advertising. You're most likely to be able to get an advertiser account. But we're not talking about putting ads on our site right now. We're just talking about placing ads. And there are a few good spots for placing ads. But first, before you do that, you need to have an ad. And Project Wonderful, I love Project Wonderful. They have different types of ads sizes, which are essentially, some were, I think, were new or not as well known before they got to them, and they made kind of made like the standard, the official sizes. And I got
their site, the sizes they use is actually slightly different than standard. Standard web buttons were 80 by 31, and I think theirs is what, 88 by.
Here, I'm gonna pull it up. Yeah, 88 by 31. That's just as dumb as the 468 by 60 thing. Though there is a reason why a regular banner size is 486 or 468 by 60. That's because that's the resolution of way back when. That was basically across the entire top of the screen.
I don't understand why they didn't just stay with web standard. We had web standard ads. Like, we had a standard. And their button size is larger than web standard.
And I love that button size, because the 88 by 31 pisses me off. It is so small, you can't see anything. You can't see anything. Their button size is 117 by 30, not 31. What's a 31? But here's how it works. You got the regular banner, which is 468 by 60. You got the leaderboard, which is basically, you take the same ad and you make it bigger. If you do the calculations, 468 by 60 turns into 728 by 90, which is their leaderboard, which makes sense. So you can basically make a leaderboard and shrink it down and use the same thing. So it's a matter of ease. You could also take the half banner, which I love the half banner, which is 234 by 60. You shrink that down, you get the button, which is 117 by 30.
All right. So, just made sense for it.
It makes sense, and I love it. Now, one that's kind of weird is the square. It's 125 by 125. I've seen this put in a lot of good places. It's kind of a weird thing. I usually find myself having to make it an animation mostly. Another one is the skyscraper. They're not happy with just a tower ad. And I don't even know what the actual tower ad was supposed to be. But the skyscraper is much taller. It's 160 wide by 600. So it's pretty tall.
Yeah.
And if you're still using some smaller resolutions, you're going to have to scroll to see the whole thing. But it's not a bad thing. I always have the hardest time figuring out how to do a vertical advertisement. But I believe the most widely used ones are the skyscraper and leaderboards. I personally don't like buttons because when people do them, they usually just throw like two rows of like six, and you can't really see anything, and people don't really click on them much anyway.
I have five. I have just one row of five.
Yeah, one little row is a lot better than doubling them up. I mean, people are just getting a little bit greedy with their ad space and just like, oh yeah, people are going to be whatever.
I have a skyscraper I use, and then the little strip of five.
I just feel that the little ones get lost in the crowd. I really like the half banner, but people just don't be bidding on the half banners as much as say the leaderboard, skyscraper, or regular banner. Squares tend to do fairly decent.
I hate the way they look on any page, though. I have a hard time.
Some people just don't put them in a good spot.
Yeah. I didn't have a good spot, so I didn't use them.
There's also a new one that they came out, which I think is based off of a different web standard button, which is 300 by 25. It's called the rectangle.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, if you want an example of that, if you go to our website at webcomicbeacon.com, that's what our cover is, the little image for each of our shows. I made it about that size because I figure if I ever wanted to advertise a particular show, I could just go bloop, and there it is. those are sometimes in really weird positions because they just take up so much space. You really have to plan and design for that type of ad. But of course, it's a nice big ad. You can put a lot of information on it for on a site.
Yeah, I just don't know where I'd put it. It does make for awkward placement.
I do want to add Char, which is Zach. Is that Zach, right? He's from insert comic here. And he's saying that a lot of people animate it you animate the button for people to notice it. When you animate your ads, you really got to think about, you know, how you're animating it. Sure, you can go with the psychedelic flash, and you're not going to get any hits because people will hate you.
If your ad is obnoxious, I assume your comic is too. Yeah, it's that simple.
But something a little nice, slowly flipping between two things can work really well. Just have the name, and then maybe, you know, a little bit of art or something like that in a little space so people don't get jumbled up by too much lettering over the art and vice versa.
I like the Revelation ads. They do a really good job with their scrolling ads. I'm looking to see now if there's one on my site right now. I happen to know the artist, so.
Well, so while you're looking, I'm just going to keep babbling.
Okay.
And then, of course, when using Project Wonderful, there is a way to, you can use a campaign mode, which is basically search for a bunch of terms that you want, like comic, web comic, and then if you're a furry comic, type in furry, or if you're a science comic, type in science or whatever. Okay, Aaron, what is it?
Aaron is leaving us. Aaron is not feeling well. He's way down.
All right, so. Aaron, thanks for being here with us. Stay out of the neat, the heat, the meat. All right, gotcha. And anyway, Aaron is from tbolcomic.com. See you later. Next week. Hopefully you're feeling better. Eat some ice cream. Let's see here real quick. Yeah, there's the campaigns where you can just, you know, look up some keywords and some specifications and just let it go for a certain amount of money. I tend to only use those for, like, low amounts, like under 10 cents. Because the way that Project Wonderful works, they have 1 cent all the way up to 10 cents, or, they go up by a penny. And then after 10 cents, they go up by 10 cents.
Right.
It used to just be by 10 cents. But
yeah.
But it works a lot better the way they have it right now. So I usually only do that up to 10 cents or 20 cents sometimes if I'm feeling lucky. Because a lot of times you catch a lot of little ones. You can get some decent traffic off of just the lower number sites because those are like the lower cost sites tend to be not getting that much traffic.
Right.
But if you do a whole lot of them and it's a lot easier just to use a campaign for it, you can get a nice amount of hits. Especially for just $20 on a Monday and just type in webcomic and comic, go with a max of 10 cents and just let it run and let the ads run until you run out of money. You can get maybe 100 or 2 hits on there, if not more, depending on how well your ad is.
Right. I think what happens if you do a campaign is that when people see it on more than one site, they end up clicking on it. So you may not get the, you may not get the hits from every site that it's on, but mm-hmm. It does build up. So, I mean, I think that when you're doing a campaign, you can't necessarily judge that the same way that you do if you're
an individual site.
Right.
But as far as where some really, really good sites are, there are, well, you're going to have to look at the high traffic sites. Like on comicspace.com, they have a Project Wonderful ad at the bottom. You know what? They don't have it anymore. But there was one that was it went through talkaboutwebcomics.com and a bunch of other sites, and it got like crazy amount. But it also goes up. Blank Label Comics is another one.
Yeah, Blank Labels is awesome.
They get a lot, but they are expensive. They can, you know,
right now it's only at $40.80, which is nothing for them. It's been as high as $180.
Yeah. So.
But it's
so for
like 10 million today they get.
Well, yeah, it's true. So it's like those, if you really want to invest in something, get some exposure out there. But this is what I do, because I'm cheap. No, I'm actually poor, but I'll take, like, you can say how much your max bid is going to be. So say, like, your max bid is, like, $200. So you'll for sure get the spot, and but you're going to make, like, the max that somebody, you're going to go up to the max that somebody else has bid first. So you could be paying, like, your advertising rate could be $150 per, is it day? Yeah, $150 per day. Yeah. That's how Project Wonderful does it. And then they break down the calculation per hour, per minute, if you cancel earlier and such. So it all works out. But you may only have $20. So maybe if you're feeling lucky for, like, 10 minutes in the afternoon, if you want to advertise and see if you get a good break, I mean, or it's actually, it sometimes can last longer. I mean, $20, $100, even $100 a day rate for $20. Well, that's a fifth of a day if you're only going to make $20. So that's a good. That's the afternoon. That's what I've done before, and it's netted me a decent amount of hits because you hit a different bunch of people. I mean, you can go ahead and advertise on your friends' sites all the time, but you're really not going to get any. You're not going to get any new hits. It's pretty much going to be the people that are already there.
Right. Depending on how your stat counters work, what I've done is my stat counter actually breaks it down as to what times of the day my site is most active. Those are the times when I hit the big ad sites. Because then I know people that like my comics read their comics around this time. Right. And I've done really good when I break it down to specific times of the day. It's usually, you know, either first thing in the morning or in the evening when people get off work and they're winding down. So,
go ahead.
And then I have a bunch of night owls too. But what did Dromos say?
Dromos is saying a tactic is to bid right below the highest bidder so they run out of money faster, and then you're the next. It's a little dirty.
You're the bastard.
It's a little dirty. But it's no different from eBay sniping, bid sniping. No, so
it's the same thing.
So that's why I just end up saying, you know, I'm just going to bid like $100 to make sure I get it and just throw like $20 at it. And just let it run. But oh well. But we're at the end of this segment. We can talk more about Project Wonderful another time, and go more in depth, especially with placing ads. And we're going to see if we can get some people from Project Wonderful to talk about it, though it has not been happening lately. So maybe in the future. Right now we're going to take a quick break and come back with the news.
The Webcomic Beacon is hosted by Zephyr.net, free hosting for free thinkers. Be sure to check out our weekly live broadcast on TalkShoe.com. Listen in, chat, or call in at webcomicbeacon.com/live. Mark Savory with a webcomic review.
Hello. As you remember, we've talked before about using a webcomic to promote political or social movements, and this week I thought I'd point you towards another niche genre comic that tries to do something very similar, namely a Christian webcomic. Now, don't abandon ship yet. Hear me out. The comic in question this week is Set Apart by Adam Humphreys over at frozenribbon.com. And it's not only a Christian webcomic, but a furry comic as well. How about that for different? Again, I'm bending the rules a bit because this particular comic is rather new. But it's a weekly, and I think there's enough material there that we can cover it for you. Is Set Apart one of those hidden gems that we all like to find? Well, no, not yet at any rate. And ironically, it does start off by committing the first sin of, webcomicry by having a comic that says, "Hey, I'm in a webcomic." Humphreys also adds Bible notation, literally chapter and verse, in the dialogue. It's not off-putting, but it's a little unusual. He also presents cursing in the dialogue as the word profanity spelled out in brackets. At first, I thought that was kind of dippy. I prefer growlixes myself, you know, little swirls and stars and percent signs, that sort of thing. But on further reflection, it makes a kind of sense. It calls out how often people in the strip use such words, so fair enough. Set Apart does start with an interesting premise. A Christian girl named Sai and a more worldly girl named Kat are going to their first semester of college and wind up as roommates together. It's your classic odd couple pairing, and that's always a pretty good springboard for character development and material. There are also a couple of other characters. One is a murderer who kills people with his tail, and his brother who tries to talk him out of being bad. To be honest, I'm not quite sure what they have to do with the story, if anything. They don't really seem to fit, and the main storyline would be just fine without them. Probably even better. In fact, when they pop up for a couple of strips, they just seem completely out of place, almost as if there's a whole different comic inside the main one. Back to Sai and Kat. The characters are only 19 years old and going to college. For most people in that situation, where to find a good prayer group isn't the first thing they have on their mind. Of course, that's exactly what Sai's concerned about. And Sai seems way older than 19. She dresses so frumpily that initially you can't even tell she's supposed to be female. But she doesn't so much have a case of the how dare yous, so much that she sees everything and everyone around her as misguided. She's relatively humorless, rarely or never smiles unless thinking or talking about a religion. Kat seems much more interesting, not because she's worldly, but because she has a personality and a sense of humor. And she makes mistakes, something that so far Sai doesn't seem to do. She goes through life perfectly serene, simply because she's religious. And that's the weakest part of the strip so far, because Sai is clearly the lead character. She's the heroine. As such, she ought to be the most interesting character, or at least interesting. It's a furry comic, okay, and it's a Christian comic, okay, but that doesn't mean character development and believability should just be left on autopilot. So far, we've learned almost nothing about Sai other than she's very religious and rather orthodox. She tends to speak in conversational scripture as well, sort of like conversational French. She has a Bible passage readily on hand for any occasion. "Hey, Sai, isn't it a nice day?" Well, as they say in Matthew 3:14, well, I have no idea what they really say in Matthew 3:14, but you get the idea. People don't really talk, react, or even think like that in everyday life, not even Orthodox people. And that affects the believability of the character, which has a direct impact on the character's long-term appeal. So far, this comic seems to fail on 2 points. First, it clearly speaks to its audience and not really anyone else. You can tell exactly where it's aimed at, which is too bad because there are several installments that are actually rather funny and accessible, but they seem doomed to be the exception and not the rule. Secondly, the characters are following a rather predictable path. I can tell you right now how they'll eventually wind up, even though I have no idea what storylines Humphreys may choose to do. Sai has yet to meet any challenges, any real ones anyway, things that might cause her to really need her faith to get her through. She'll get by simply because she's religious, living serenely inside a bubble, keeping the real world well at arm's length. And because of that, she's not going to grow or change or really learn all that much about real life. The other characters will wind up in one of two groups. The first will convert to religion, inspired by Sai's steadfast example and benign influence and her unconscious ability to make people feel guilty over relatively minor things. Kat's already well along that road. Kat and the others in this group will convert and find happiness, and everything will work out for them just splendorifically. The others in the cast will not convert, and no matter how popular they are, how successful, how much they party, anything, they'll always be unhappy. They'll have bad things happen to them and feel like something is missing from their lives. On his website, Humphrey lays out very clearly what he wants from the comic, what the project is all about, and what it's not supposed to be. So perhaps it's unfair for me to expect more from this strip. Perhaps it's just supposed to be taken at face value. Maybe it's one of those comics that just is what it is. Still, With such an interesting premise and the potential such a strip could have to enlighten, educate, entertain, possibly even give insight into the Christian mindset, I think it could be developed a little bit better. He says elsewhere that the comic isn't meant to be instructive or to be used in conjunction with Bible study. That's unfortunate because it may be best suited for that when all is said and done. I would envision a sort of Sunday school version in print that could be quite useful for teaching this material. But in the meantime, we're dealing with a webcomic. Humphreys may indeed have some very clever things planned for his comic so that the story will take off in amazing directions. And again, the comic is very young, so there's room to grow here. But somehow, I just don't have faith that's going to happen. I'm Mark Savory, and until we meet again, take care.
For more from Mark, visit autumnlake.com.
This is Byron of StripFight.org bringing you the weekly ringside update. Round 164 Deserted Island went to Aaron of ChainsawComics.com. Aaron's win is a dream come true. This week our competitors are racing into round 165, Formula One. And into the final lap, Miko's driving blind while Vince burns up the track. Aaron changes his gears. Tim smashes the competition and Christian's hope for a big finish come up short. This week we have five contenders heading toward the finish line. Go and vote for your favorite strip. The next round, 166, Frosty Beer, still has a few days left before the deadline on July 13th. Get those entries in. StripFight.org. May the best comic win.
All right, welcome back. And let's see here. We got webcomic news to talk about. I wanted to talk about something really quick. Now, I know that some people hate this guy. But I don't really know much about him, the person. But we're talking about Yahtzee and Zero Punctuation, his little rambling segment, where if anybody's heard about him, it's he has like this little video flash thing or whatever of a yellow background with stick figures, and he's like basically talking as if there's zero punctuation, mostly ranting about video games. Well, recently he did something on video game webcomics, and I felt it was spot on. Now, I kind of got criticized for linking this particular one to a few people at the gaming forum that I typically visit, but because they hate his guts. But it's not that I was using him to convey my point. It's just that he's just saying a lot of things what a lot of people have been saying about gamer comics for the longest time. Tanya, have you seen this video?
I have not.
Okay, this video is at... I'm going to post it in the chat room for everybody. And it's pretty... I mean, we've all seen gamer comics.
Yes.
We all seen how much... gamer comics tend to be like a completely separate webcomic world as to the rest of the webcomic world. It just seems that way. And we'll talk more about gamer comics another time, which I really would like to talk about them another time. But
yeah.
But I'm just saying this is some news. It's really funny. Just go into it being entertained because you can disagree, you can agree all you want, but I find it just hilarious. That's at Escapist magazine.com and just look for Zero Punctuation and the webcomic, or just Google Zero Punctuation webcomics. It's hilarious, and I was going to play a clip, and I might, and here one is.
So you've looked at Penny Arcade, seen the massive amounts of money, prestige, and money those guys get for 9 panels a week, and decided that you want in on that. Many gaming webcomic artists have thought the exact same thing. In fact, let's not beat around the bush, all gaming webcomic artists, except Penny Arcade, obviously.
Just a taste, but you can check the rest of that out at escapistmagazine.com and search for Zero Punctuation. Right now, we're going to be doing a little bit of the webcomic searchlight, or the beacon searchlight here on the webcomic beacon. This week, we're going in line with how people have submitted, we're going with The World Explodes. Now, this is not a comic that's safe for work or for children. And... So I will be using the new script that I found to make sure to click Are You 18? From our website, which people have noticed from the adult webcomic show that we had. But this is, if you are of the proper age, theworldexplodes.com. And it's something that I remember seeing a little bit way back, back in 2006. It seemed to be just kind of like a gag a day. And then now it's really, they have long-going stories. To give you an idea of the content, here's a couple of the stories. The names, anyway. Sanchez, the Sausage, and the Three Bears. Gerbil, Rodent About Town. And then there's the most recent one is Duck, which you can imagine what it could
it's
be
beautiful.
About.
It's beautiful.
Of course it is, Tanya. but the thing is actually, I'm looking at some of the art. It's not badly drawn. It's ink. It's not like it's grayscale. This is inked because you can see hatching. I mean, it's not spectacular hatching like some other comics that I've seen. But it's done well enough that because there's. You know, there's bad, really bad ways to try to go about it, and there's really good ways to go about it. This seems to be somewhere in the middle. There's definitely some talent in the artwork because there's a consistency in the design of the proportions and such. However, at first glance, you may not think that, but I'm actually looking through some of the archive, and you know, you can say this person does know how to draw.
The style actually reminds me a lot of German Vasquez. Not specifically from Zim, because it was, you know, mostly color, but from, like, Johnny the Homicidal Maniac. It has a lot of the same elements. That's a good thing.
So, it's fairly interesting. It's probably not something that I'm going to read. But, obviously...
I'm definitely going to start reading this.
Yeah, Tanya loves it, apparently, but that's not saying... Well...
You know what? Freaks everywhere are tuning in to find out what comics I read.
Right, right. So anyway, that is our beacon searchlight. The world explodes. Next week we'll do something completely different. Different.
Do like a child comic.
Do we have any milestones this week, Tanya?
Not that I know of. Best.
Really?
You get the webcomic beacon emails, not me.
Well, yeah, but maybe you've seen some around.
No, I've been working my little arse off, so I've seen nothing.
We did receive a milestone notice last week, but we're going with it doesn't count. I think we're going... yeah, which is part of the same production company that The World Explodes is at. And all the thing that just says milestone, and it says that... is publishing their first work, something like that. Something for sale is not a milestone. No. If it's in addition to how many years, like an anniversary came up, or a hundredth of a comic came up, or a comic has ended, like it's officially ended, not like you quit and gave up on it, but if it actually came to an end, those are milestones. Not that you sold something. I'm not being a dick. I'm just saying, you know, we're not going to. Mention those. Because I've even had some back in the day say, we've hit like 20,000 unique visits, and well, those are kind of sketchy already, and we're not going to do that. But we do have a few more beacon searchlights in mind, and if you're interested in having us take a quick look, this is replacing our impressions segment. If you want us to take a quick look at your comic, just send to webcomicbeacon@gmail.com with beacon searchlight in there, and we'll basically put you in line, or we may jump around if we feel we're getting too many of the same type of comic.
Yeah. So, or because we're just flighty.
Yeah, or we all really hate it. No, I'm just kidding. We'll probably still go through it if we all...
First.
Yeah, Aaron won't say anything bad if it's a really bad comic, so he might say something to it, like he might say, it's a comic.
Yeah, he's
criminally
nice.
Yeah, I'm not going to say what he's going to say. I have no idea what he'd say, but hey, who knows? Whatever. But yay, I have a milestone. Me. If you go to fessandernst.com, I have not really plugged my comic. I have not put it in the show notes. I usually don't ever put it in the show notes ever because I feel so pretentious. despite me constantly talking about it. But I'll just say my comic or my character. But I can actually really plug it without feeling guilty. 200 strips in 2 years.
Woo!
Go to fessenernst.com, and if it's not there by the time you hear this, there should be a little link for the 200 strip 2 year special. And what I did, I made a video. I made an animated video that was a pain in the ass to do, and it still turned out like, well, two segments I'm not happy about. I'm not happy about the ones where my fursona, my, you know, the wolf dog character of me.
I love that fursona. That's awesome.
But those two segments I'm not as happy about, but the segment with Nemi, Fess, and Ernst, I just love. And there's kind of a theme between the strip and the video. Basically, it represents things, something that I don't like, but this was a chance to get it out of my system. And you know how sometimes for specialists, people do a flashback episode?
Yes.
It's essentially a cop-out of doing some real special. Well, I decided to cop out and not do a real special, and I'm doing something that other people have already done. So it's kind of sarcastic.
Yes, we see that.
And that's just the way I am, and just whatever. And actually, I borrowed from Diana Nock. Diana Nock showed me how to do a layout for a comic, which I still can't do properly because I'm so inconsistent with how I draw. But thank you, Diana, for the layout. And I turned it into my 200-strip special. And I encourage other people to see if they can take her thing and turn it into a meme.
Nice.
Yes, I know you're supposed to call them memes. But yes. I don't. But they're really memes because... What is a meme? It's basically something viral that other people are like, me too. I want to do it too. Look at me too. I can do it. I can do it. Other people can do it. So can I. Me. It's very selfish.
I'm sure that the good professor appreciates your bastardization of his theory.
Who?
Now I can't remember the professor's name that came up with the meme concept.
It's like fun to be a part of something. Yeah, whatever.
Evolution. This is a serious theory, goddammit.
It is. I don't like it.
Dawkins. It was Professor Richard Dawkins.
I don't care who that is. My point is that it's just kind of pretentious. It's like, oh, I can't come up with something original myself that's popular, so I'll ride the coattails of something else that's popular. Yeah. You go on YouTube and you see all this crap. So you can see how kind of bitter my special is, despite being an imaginable accomplishment for myself. So I'm very sarcastic and bitter. And it's also a love-hate relationship thing, because I love some of these memes, but they're just really selfish and pretentious, and I figured this special is a way to get some of it out of my system. So I did. And some of you can kind of guess.
Do you know that meme as a theory was originally described specifically to describe things like Christianity? Like you just pissed off half the people on the planet.
Oh, whatever. that's my opinion, and I'm sticking to it. Like I said, it's a love-hate thing. It's kind of fun to be a part of it, but it just do something original, you know. Anyway, so that's the milestone. I get to blah 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 about because I'm so excited. Yay! And I got storylines and crossovers and all this stuff coming up the rest of the summer. At the end of summer and in fall, it's going to be a great, wonderful time. Yay! As far as other news, I guess we really don't have any.
No. Fess is excited about his comic again, and that's really all that matters.
Yay!
That's good.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway. Oh, now I'm kind of like, I finally got that out of my system. Just to bitch about something. I've thought of making a webcomic, like a Lego webcomic of just two guys like talking over the fence, like neighbors, just talking about stuff they hate. Just because I have so much like anger about some stupid stuff that I see that I just want to get it out.
I think maybe you should, like, before you start getting tumors and things.
I mean, I don't plan it to be. I wouldn't plan it to be just popular. In fact, I would probably plan for people just to absolutely hate it and not want to look at it. And it probably wouldn't last that much longer. It's just a nice way to just vent about stuff without being a blog.
I think you'd be surprised. People like to commiserate.
Yeah. They like to commiserate. But I don't know. It's just, you know, whatever. Anyway, I figure. I could do a blog. I could type in my live journal about stuff that's pissing me off.
But
what's the point of that? I mean, any person can just throw a bunch of words down, whatever, about, oh, I hate this. I figure if I do something, I'd want to do it in a comic form or do a pod. I've also had this other idea to do a podcast. I'd call the podcast Bitch, Bitch, Bitch. And it'd just be about people calling in and bitching about whatever. And just, you know, but I can see that becoming disastrous really quickly. But
I
have a lot of anger.
I haven't gotten enough hate mail. So I'm doing a strip rant, like a series of print comics, mm-hmm. Just called Rants, and then I do a different topic. And my first one is on feminism. So, yeah.
So you're trying to get hate mail?
It started out with the intentions, like you have, to just get some things off my chest, put it out there, and see who agrees with me, see what happens. But I have a feeling that I'm just putting a target on my back, yeah. But, you know, sometimes you have to express anger things you're pissed off about.
Yeah. And maybe that's something that's another thing that we could approach sometime. anger and hate comics or something like that. I don't know. I don't know. There might be. Who knows? You try to think you have something original, then you search for it and you realize, oh, wow, it's not original at all.
Yeah.
But
it's been done. Almost guaranteed. But
yeah, so
wow, we're just like fading off into nothingness now.
Yes. We should
eating Good and Plenty's. Like I gave up. I don't know.
Yeah, I think oh well. Well, I think that's the end of. I'm just exhausted from just being excited and angered about stuff.
So all that adrenaline just built up, and you just crashed.
Yeah, I gotta sleep. I gotta work tonight, and I gotta get to bed anyway. And it's hot. I should take a shower. It's just a lot of things. Chat room, thanks very much for being with us today.
Hey.
I hope everyone had a great 4th of July weekend. And
what did you do?
I worked.
Oh, yay.
So anyway, hopefully you get, everyone will have, what did we even talk about at the first half of the show?
Webcomic lists.
Yeah, hopefully you'll get your comic on some webcomic lists to never visit them again. And hopefully you'll put some advertisements up so people will even look at your webcomic.
Yeah.
So that's all for the Webcomic Beacon from webcomicbeacon.com. I'm Fess of fessandernst.com.
And this is Tanya from betaphone.com.
We'll see you next week.
Bye-bye.
That's all for the Beacon. Be sure to tune in next week.
I love the pinup. It makes me so happy. Penises are hard to draw.
Good night, everybody.